The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Roy McCartney is sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Atlantis Paradise Island, Wendy's, Marlin Marine, Lowe's Wholesale, Crystal Cruises, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and LA Impact Windows and Doors.
Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I realized on the way to work that I had not taken my blood pressure medication today, and therefore I would ask that we not stress each other out. That was a critical error on my part because I do need it to do this on a daily basis. All right. We're going to talk about a couple of things today. And also, I believe Glenys Hannah-Martin is coming for the second hour, I believe. And we'll talk about a couple of things. And maybe she can help me to understand what on earth Brave Davis is talking about this canoe thing, which we'll talk about that in a bit. Because I am astounded that he would make such a statement about these people. This is massive traffic jam at Saunders Beach. Don't know why, heading west. I don't know why either. Saunders Beach? Traffic's always pretty bad, Saunders Beach, depending on the time of day. They need to widen West Bay Street west of Nassau Street, in my opinion. It says, as long as Antonis Block, your pressure's good, bro. It says, not the normal traffic. All right, well, we'll check it out. I know they had a drowning at Potter's Key, but that's not near Saunders Beach. Yeah, maybe KFC. KFC's, that one's really popular out there. I don't know. If I find out, I'll let you know. But anyway, let's talk about a couple of things. The first thing is, and let me know if my thinking's off on this. All right, I could be wrong here, but are we comfortable with people tying alleged criminals up and assaulting them and doling out mob justice? Now, has it gotten to this point that we now detain people and beat them? I saw one last night. The guy was choking a dude out. He was sitting on top of him. It wasn't funny. He was sitting on top of him. He caught him in his yard, right? He's sitting on top of him. First, he's beating his head into the ground. And then someone says that's old. Well, anyway, it happened, right? He's beating his head into the ground. He's sitting on top of him. The guy's huge, right? And the woman's recording. And he's like, well, the guy's clearly spaced out who he was beating. Maybe banging his head into the ground messed him up. And the guy's like, oh, kill me before the man come. And then let me go to the morgue. And the guy's choking him. Choking him out. And the lady recording it is like, yeah, you need to die. You need to die. Why? What? Is that how we're doing this now? The guys who got accused of rape the other day? It's despicable if they did that. But you know, are you just going to beat him bloody? Oh, someone says there's a car accident at Saunders Beach. Yeah, that'll do it. Car accident. All right. Tell me car accident. All right. Why are we doing this? Because last I checked, the consensus was that the police should not be beating alleged criminals when they are in custody. Last I checked, there was great public uproar when we see these allegations of police beating people. There was great public concern when police had been found to kill people in custody. So if we have a problem with the police doing it, then why are regular citizens doing it? And I'm interested to understand what the commissioner of police's thinking is on this. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone is attacking you, by all means, defend yourself. If you feel your life is in imminent danger, by all means, defend yourself. And for example, if I find you in my home, all right, and I am in my home and you are uninvited, I'm likely going to shoot you, all right? Not because it's anything personal, but I can only draw the conclusion that you are there to harm me and my family. I go straight to 100. I think you're there to kill me. Somebody sent you. Something happened. I don't know. Whatever. Yeah, you're there to kill me and my children. And so I'm going to shoot first, ask questions later. All right? So that's fine if that's the situation you find yourself in. Well, fella came at me with a knife. I had to do something. All right, fair enough, right? Well, he was assaulting me. I had to do something. That's fine. But if you already have someone detained, you don't need to beat them, right? Just detain them and call the cops and let the police deal with it, all right? That's my thinking. I could be wrong. That may be an unpopular opinion, but I disagree with this beating people. I disagree with this beating of people once you have apprehended them. All right? That's just me. All right? I don't agree with it when the police do it. I think it's inhumane. I don't agree with it when private citizens do it. All right? But that's just me. I could be wrong. Maybe there's just a spirit of vigilantism that has taken root, and we now figure that the mob should be judge, jury, and executioner. I don't know. All right, before I get on to the canoe and Brave Davis thing, the Attorney General's office is today, lawyers for the Attorney General's office, they're today before the Court of Appeal arguing for a stay of its recent ruling about citizenship. So that is probably going to be dead in the water for a while. Because yesterday I was telling you it is still the law once the Court of Appeal rules, although Carl Bethel says it's not, but every other lawyer I spoke to said it is. But that's probably going to be dead in the water. So you might not want to waste your time. All right. It says, one, we've placed things above the sanctity of human lives. That's why the woman said kill him. What's bad is that they tortured the three teenagers and then let them go before the police got there. Make it make sense. I can't make it make sense. I mean, if you want to detain them and accuse them of a crime and put them, then that's, you know, that's fine. You as a private citizen can make that citizen's arrest or whatever like this. But to tie them up and beat them, I think that's too far. All right? If you want to call us, by the way, the 323 line is not working. You'd have to call 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. Text line, as always, is 422-4796. You know, one day, anyway, never mind. Let me leave that alone. All right. This says, a little Batman and Robin, tie him up and beat him a bit till the police reach. Sometimes you might have to chafe someone to restrain them. Possibly. If I catch you in my yard stealing, I got to knock you out, and I chase you down, and I tumble you or whatever like that. That's, you know, as I get a little rough and tumble, that's fine. But once I got you under control, I don't need to choke you out. You catch a case like that. Hey, when I agree with you, those people who beat people during those situations needs to understand that they could be charged. Yeah, because the police just, I don't know if I agree with it, but the police charged a guy, I guess the public prosecutions took it up, but the police charged a guy with unnecessary force for shooting a guy when he was running away with his stolen goods. Now, I don't know. He didn't kill the guy. All right? I don't know. All right? Plus, I've seen homicide scenes where property owners shot people on their property and the police come and go, yeah, that's a clean kill. And they don't even lock the guy up. They don't even take him into custody. Juan, can you imagine catching the killer of a loved one or someone who hurt a loved one and that's your only chance to make them hurt on top of that? And can you imagine catching them and they're out on bail in 2-3 days? I'm sorry, Juan, I catch a loved one's killer, I will break plenty of wood on him. Well, you know. Again, that's not how we want this all to work. We want it to work with order and decency. We don't want people killing people. Have you ever seen a movie called I Saw the Devil? It's a Korean movie about a serial killer. Well, I can't even explain it to you. It's so deep. A serial killer kills a cop's wife, right? And the cop tracks the serial killer down and follows him around to crime scenes. Before the serial killer can kill again, he drugs him, knocks him out, ties him up, tortures him, starts cutting off pieces of him, and releases him again. And so now this guy's, the cop is hunting the serial killer. That's what that sounds like. It says, with regards to Carl Bethel's statements, he stated that the ruling has not changed the law until the Privy Council rule. Things should continue as they have. He also said that the Privy Council rules in favor of the current ruling. Some laws will need to be changed. I have two questions on this. One, does everyone that this ruling affects have a right to go back to the courts and demand the government grant citizenship based on the ruling? Yeah, until there's a stay, I mean, you know, what is it? If you go to the passport office and you take him to the Supreme Court, Supreme Court's going to go, Court of Appeal ruled, so that's, you got to give him citizenship. It says, as to my understanding, was that the interpretation of the law was what was in question. This being said, why would any laws need to be changed if the Privy Council supports the current local ruling? I didn't say the Privy Council support the current local ruling. I'm saying the Privy Council, when Justice Winder made his ruling, he cited Privy Council precedent on how to interpret a constitution. All right? Let's talk about this thing with Brave Davis. Now, let me say this as a disclaimer, right? I don't support any of this that was said in terms of the allegations that are being made by the leader of the Progressive Liberal Party against the principles of Canoe. Full disclosure, I've had Canoe on this program several times as a paid guest, and they've paid for advertising on this program. And some of what I say is informed by the fact that I've had discussions with the guys who run Canoe, right, about the platform. So Brave Davis says that Canoe is involved in a travel visa scam without a shred of evidence. He says the travel visa is a corrupt scheme where Bahamian companies are stealing money from the government, and the FNM administration is in collusion with them.
So let me see if I understand what it is that you are saying. You say Canoe is a company with no track record. Canoe's been around for several years. You're saying Canoe's involved in a corrupt scam. Well, then I think the appropriate persons to tell that to would not be the media. That would be the Securities and Exchange Commission, which has vetted Canoe and given it license to operate and conduct business with legitimate banks. I would suggest you tell that to the central bank, which has also vetted Canoe and given it permission to operate, so much so that Canoe's one of the first platforms that was able to use the sand dollar, our official digital currency, to trade. You're saying that because the FNM chairman, FNM's campaign coordinator is a shareholder in Canoe, that it's a company that deserves to be labeled as corrupt and involved in scams. So Keith Davies, who's one of the owners of Canoe, who runs our national securities exchange to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars, is corrupt and involved in a scam because you say so. Because you don't understand that the government uses numerous private companies to collect payment on its behalf. Because you don't understand that if a local company didn't do it, then a foreign company would have to do it, and Bahamians would not be making money, but foreigners would. You claim Nicholas Rees, who's an edge, by your statement, you're claiming Keith Davies and Nicholas Rees, who is an educated, young Bahamian entrepreneur and businessman, all right, are corrupt and involved in a scam without a shred of evidence. You say this. Now, look, I don't know who's connected to who, but if you're gonna be prime minister, you have to tread carefully with people's names. And I'm gonna give you an example of that in a bit. All right? People have said many, many things about Brave Davis himself that are not proven. And when they say those things to me or on this platform, I tell them that we don't have any evidence of that. It is unfair to him, despite him being a public figure. These guys aren't public figures. They're running a legitimate company. I know, because I have Canoe. I have used the Canoe app. I use it. Super Value is involved with it. Listen, why do this? What political mileage do you think you're getting off of smearing Bahamian businessmen? Do you not know that the deputy leader of your party owns Cash and Go, that also does business with the government and collects money on behalf of the government? Could you not have asked him how this works before you say these things and drag everyone in the company down because you want to get at Nigel Lewis? How is this helpful? Now, let's say this. I'll say this. What I would have done, were I you, is to ask for transparency and accountability from the government. Because yesterday, in response to these claims, you could have gone about this a different way, the Ministry of Tourism released a detailed statement explaining the process, what they went through with Canoe, what Canoe gets, which is 1.5% of the fees, and how much money has been paid into it, and how much money the government has received, and what goes toward the insurance. I don't agree with all the ins and outs of the health visa, right? But to just label it all as a corrupt scam for political mileage is irresponsible. All right? So whoever's advising you to do this, you need to think it through better than this. All right? You got to be careful with people's name, because you ask people to be careful with yours. I think that's only fair. What you're doing is akin to what the current prime minister of our country did with a former distinguished Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer, which is smearing them without any shred of evidence whatsoever. You have no evidence whatsoever. And you're an attorney, and you know that Canoe can take action against you for those remarks, that you've done harm to their business. You know that. You didn't say this in the House. You said it right out in the open. Now, if someone said that about your business and your law firm, etc., out in the open, that you're involved in a corrupt scam, what would you do? We're going to do a show one day soon about emotional intelligence. And a part of emotional intelligence is, right, that you need to be able to place yourself in the position of others in order to understand how your actions impact them. So if they got up and started calling you corrupt and involved in a scam and all this stuff like that, when the FNM chairman was doing it to you, you guys threatened them with legal action. So why is it okay for you to do to other people, to private Bahamian businessmen? I find that strange. All right? I don't know who's advising you to do this. I would advise you to stop doing it. It's not helping you or your cause. All right? Now, what you did do the other day was in Parliament, you brought up the National Heritage Site public-private partnership plan. And again, I've said this, I said it a couple of days ago, and I say it again. I have no problem with Bahamians doing business with the government. I have no problem with FNMs doing business with an FNM administration. I have no problem with PLPs doing business with a PLP administration. All right? So, it says, good afternoon, what are they? All right, now, seriously, though, you can't text me on my private line and ask me to explain to you over again for you just what I've been through the whole time, so you're going to have to catch up, okay? So, when he brought up the monuments thing, they also talked about what Daniel Ferguson, who was an RBDF officer, who headed the Laura Quinn Commission, for God's sake. They talked about what he said about procurement. And Daniel Ferguson's right. The government he wrote a series of articles, and he continued it today, about how the public procurement bill is done incorrectly, and it's flawed, and it won't lead to more transparency in the process. And he wrote an article today detailing how the Minnesota administration is being fuzzy on public procurement and has actually been accused of standing in the way of public procurement reform, and he details things from Desmond Bannister and the Prime Minister, and then he kind of eviscerates him. The Prime Minister stood up and said, I'm going to release his file, right? So he was a procurement specialist with the Ministry of Health, I believe it was, and he was also, as I said, a Royal Bahamas Defense Force officer. He's released copies of his personal record from the Defense Force. He was honorably discharged. After that, he was asked to head the Laura Quinn Commission to investigate
matters that occurred in the defense force.
And you say he's broke confidentiality. And who would hire someone like that? So the prime minister, who is the most powerful person in the country, gets up and says, why would anyone hire you? You're personally harming this man's reputation. I'm going to read for you. Well, let's take a break. And then I'm going to read for you some of what he had to say in today's paper. All right. So let's stop this, right? Let's wake up and embrace reality. All right. Let's don't do this for some perceived political advantage. You tear down Bahamian businessmen. Now, I don't know who did what and who didn't do what, but that's the point. I don't know. So I can't sit here and go, yeah. You present no evidence, nothing. But yet you just blithely label them corrupt and involved in a scam. And without a care in the world for what it does to their reputations. All right? They have families just like you who are hearing this and watching possibly the next prime minister tear them down. You know, let's elevate this thing, man. Come on. All right? We'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
Banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you will also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney, so good to have you with us. A couple of texts says, well, if he slandered them, why don't they just sue him? They very well might. They certainly have that option. Nothing he said was protected by any privilege. Says, you say he don't have a shred of evidence, that's grounds for a lawsuit, isn't it? Yeah, man, yeah. I didn't say he don't have a shred of evidence. I say he didn't present a shred of evidence upon making these allegations. Says, thank you for your words today. Nicholas and the team worked hard to establish a thriving and innovative business. One Brave would do and say anything to gain power. This is why Chester wasn't at the press conference. Brave continues to be a letdown in his choice on the political grandstanding. People do business with the government. Now what you need is transparency and accountability. But I got no problem with Bahamian businessmen getting money. That's what's the point if we can? The foreigners supposed to get all the Bahamian government business? We said we didn't want that, right? We don't want the foreign companies to benefit from our taxpayer dollars in that fashion, right? I thought that's what we were saying. We don't want the foreign consultants. We don't want the foreign QCs, right? We want Bahamians to make money, so what's the problem? Now, be transparent, all right? Be transparent. I'm going to read for you what Daniel Ferguson said in today's paper, right? In response to the Prime Minister smearing this man in Parliament. And this is a clear-cut example of, before you start it, right, make sure you bought that action, right? Make sure you're ready, okay? Here's what Daniel Ferguson had to say. He said, it was really not my intention to write another article until the end of September because I wanted to give the government the benefit of the doubt regarding its self-imposed timeline on when the public procurement bill would come into effect. However, on Monday, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Dr. the Honorable Hubert Minnis, during his closing remarks of the budget debate, referring to me publicly, said in the House, and I quote, if he don't stop pushing me, I'm going to have to reveal the details of his personal files while he was employed at the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the Ministry of Health. I was quite amused by this because I wanted to know what records he was referring to. He also alluded to me as being an angry man and that I breached confidentiality clauses. It is not my intention to answer the Prime Minister in those regards because I have provided this newspaper and other media houses with copies of my military discharge certificate, which reflects my honorable discharge and letter of transfer, an appointment of chief supplies officer to the Ministry of Health, and hope that they will print the same for the Bahamian people to see for themselves. Then the public should ask the Prime Minister, if Mr. Ferguson's personal files are so damaging, how is it that he was appointed as lead investigator for the Laura Quinn Commission of Inquiry in 2004, has been employed in your ministry as a procurement officer responsible for the public procurement reform for 4 years, and was the Caribbean's representative to the Organization of American States organization, known as the Inter-American Network of Government Procurement Officers for the years 2019 through 2021. I would say, though, that yes, I am an angry man when a government will take advice from unqualified individuals on procurement matters over the professional procurement specialists. I am angry because as a chartered procurement specialist, I am appalled by the amount of government contracts that were neither tendered nor were advertised. Yes, the previous government did the same, but has this government proven to be any different? On two occasions during my employment with the Ministry of Finance, I've had the opportunity to appear before the United Nations Convention on Corruption to apprise them of the activities of the public procurement reform that I led for the past 4 years. The United Nations Convention Against Corruption is the only legally binding universal anti-corruption instrument of which the Bahamas is a party. The government of the Bahamas should be aware that organizations such as these, the IDB, the World Bank, and the Caribbean Development Bank, all of whom are stakeholders in our economic development, are observing their actions, especially when it threatens its citizens for speaking truth. What I find to be so ironic is that during the debate on Monday, Mrs. Glenys Hannah-Martin, the Member of Parliament for Englishton, in referring to my article, stated that the writer was simply saying that since the public procurement bill was to be delayed until September this year, the government has a moral obligation under best practices
to ensure that its mandated policy for all procurement to be done through the e-procurement supplier registry is adhered to. So why the outburst? Is it that the government is not serious about transparency? On Thursday, June 17th, 2021, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Public Works, the Honorable Desmond Bannister, eloquently made his contribution to the budget debate, stating that many projects his ministry had completed in both his constituency and the country in large. Stating the many projects. He talked about parks being redeveloped, road paving, and the renovations of certain buildings. The Honorable Minister did rise to his feet during the Prime Minister's contribution on Monday, June 21st, and advise that the e-procurement supplier registry was being used. He was correct, but what he did not say was how many of the 763 registered construction companies on the e-procurement system had an opportunity to bid on all of those projects he mentioned through the e-procurement supplier registry. An analysis of the usage of the e-procurement supplier registry by ministries and agencies was conducted, and it was discovered from April 2020 to February 2021, the Department of Public Works created 15 restricted selective bid notices on the system. They did create 22 other notices that were competitive, an extremely small amount of notices for a department that had a capital works budget of $151 million in the fiscal year. There are 2,200 registered companies on the e-procurement supplier registry all waiting for business opportunities. Why really is transparency in public procurement being delayed? Who are the operational leadership in the Ministry of Finance that would have given the government advice to push back the procurement bill coming into effect in September 2021? I can assure you that not one of them has any public procurement experience or qualifications. If they had, they would have known better. You would recall that in my last article, I indicated that both the international consultant and the local procurement officer were no longer employed by the Ministry of Finance. The international consultant, who was employed by the government's Public Financial Management Reform Project, stated in his final report, quote, "The resistance to the public procurement reform from top-level political positions and senior-level management officials in government, as well as from members of parliament, has also obstructed progress regarding the new public procurement legislation development and implementation of new procurement tools," end quote. This statement is powerful and raises questions about why transparency is being delayed. The e-procurement supplier registry should be utilized for all procurement as the government has mandated. In conclusion, I am a Marine. We write war books. We don't read them. All right? So, you know, tread carefully with people's names and reputations, particularly when you're in powerful positions like the leader of the opposition and the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Be very careful who you trample on to try to advance your political aims. To Brave Davis, I would say, you can be better than the Prime Minister. He does not have the discipline and the regard for people's personal reputations, clearly, to not say these kinds of things. This that you said about Canoe, and by implication, people at the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Finance, a Bahamian software developer, was unnecessary and should not have been done without submitting evidence. Please, let us be serious and intentional about what we're doing. And let's stop playing games. This says, I have always voted for the FNM, but I would switch and vote for Chester Cooper if Brave was not involved. Chester was not at the press conference. I think he went to the PM to get his red shirt back. LOL. Yeah, I saw that PM had a red shirt in Parliament. That's the quality of what the Minister of Finance brings to the budget debate. He bought a big red shirt, says Rockwood Dock, and claimed Chester Cooper wanted to run for him. It was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. This says, Minister's wrong. Yes, he was wrong for doing that. And I'm going to read for you what the DNA leader had to say about it. I thought she was pretty spot on. One, the PM was totally wrong because he was chastising the PLP for not implementing the procurement process, but yet still he used the PLP old process to award $40 million in contracts as opposed to using his new transparent process. So the bottom line, all of them like to pretend, but we know how they, the PLP and the FNM, go. Yeah, I'm going to read the DNA thing right now. Says, Juan, Dr. Nigel Lewis was in my class at The Government High, and aside from copying my geography notes occasionally, he's a man of impeccable honesty and integrity. Go, Nigel. Have you ever seen an RFP for government vehicles? We are registered and waiting. Well, let me help you out, right? So while you're here talking about who you're going to expose, do us a favor and explain to us through which process and which companies have you been buying food for the National Food Distribution Task Force? Through which companies have you been, and which process have you been sourcing, which legitimate process have you been sourcing PPEs for our healthcare workers that you said you spent tens of millions of dollars on? Explain those things to us. You've explained the health visa thing. Great. An explanation beforehand would have been better. So explain to us, since you're so transparent, who's gotten all the money you spent from the beginning of the pandemic to now? Since you guys are the government of transparency, help us out. All right, let me read the DNA thing for you. DNA leader slams PM attack on whistleblower. The Prime Minister lowered the standard of the office he holds and the standard of Parliament when he chose to attack a private citizen during the recent budget debate. It is simply shameful and unacceptable that our nation's leader was unable to control his emotions and display decorum in addressing matters of transparency and accountability. In response to questions about whether the e-procurement supplier registry was being used to bid for contracts, the PM launched an all-out attack on a whistleblower who had brought this matter to the attention of the Bahamian people. Following the footsteps of other MPs, the PM abused his parliamentary privilege in naming and threatening a concerned citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Labeling the whistleblower as an angry man, the PM threatened to reveal details within the personnel files of a private citizen to the public. Rather than answering the questions put to him, apologizing for his government's wrongdoing and asking for forgiveness, PM Minnis chose to be petty. Vindictive and nasty in response, he chose to go low rather than take the high road expected of real leaders. The DNA has been an advocate for good governance, and we have called for the full implementation of whistleblower freedom of information and campaign finance legislation. Unfortunately, the FNM administration has failed to implement these laws because they are not committed to transparency and accountability. We remind the Prime Minister that whistleblower legislation is designed to protect individuals who disclose and expose government corruption, illegality, waste, and impropriety. These persons should be protected from retaliation or backlash such as that perpetrated by the Prime Minister. The good news is that Dr. Minnis has delivered his final budget communication as Prime Minister, and his days in office are numbered. That's the DNA statement. So, again, let's tighten it up all around, shall we? All around, we could tighten it up. Why don't you, Prime Minister Minnis, stop using your platform to go after people who you believe are your enemies, and particularly if they're private citizens? And why don't you, leader of Her Majesty's loyal opposition, stop using your platform to label Bahamians as corrupt without presenting any evidence. Yes, weren't you the ones who blasted the Prime Minister for going around and talking about the fact that... Weren't you the ones who blasted the Prime Minister for going around talking about we were corrupt to other nations? Weren't you the ones who said that he has no evidence of that and he should not do it and it's wrong to just label the Bahamian people as being corrupt? So please, for all, someone says remind the DNA that whistleblower protection is in the FOIA. Yeah, I guess I need to remind them of that? So let's tighten it up. Oh, Glenys Anna Martin can't come. BLP's got some candidates there. All right. We'll be back on the other side then.
FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, wait, just a hard day, wait.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know he's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
You asked for it, and now it's here. Introducing the all-new plant-based Rebel Whopper, only at Burger King Nassau. The new Rebel Whopper is everything you expect in a Whopper, with a meatless plant-based patty that is flame-grilled to perfection with all the fixings you love on that famous sesame seed bun. Come try out the new Rebel Whopper with fries and a Pepsi and see if you can tell the difference. The Rebel Whopper is 100% Whopper, 0% beef, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details.
Crystal Cruises is setting sail for the Bahamas once again. Crystal will follow the strictest safety protocols as guests travel to Exuma, San Salvador, Long Island, and more. With a commitment to keep communities and guests safe and protect the environment, Crystal's decision to home port in the Bahamas will boost tourism and support the local economy. Learn more at crystalcruises.com.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. It's so good to have you with us. We are not going to have Glenys Hannah Martin here today because she's, like I said, caught up at some event the Progressive Liberal Party is having for its candidates, which that's fine. Help them out. A lot of them are new to politics or new to running in a national election anyway, and they're going to need all the help they can get. All right? Now, we'll have to adjust here since we had planned on speaking with Ms. Hannah Martin. But you can call me, 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316 and 325-4259. All right. Now, we were talking earlier about what our leaders shouldn't do in terms of crossing the line, right? Particularly with playing with the reputation of private citizens. When you have absolutely no proof. So I'm going to read some of the text in response to this. This says, one, is it fair to say we expect better out of Brave than we do out of Minnis? Not just because he's a lawyer, but we've never seen him pierce the parliamentary veil to go after private citizens. Leaders have to keep their cool when holding the hot political rocks. This is not the time to start speaking with your testicular head. I mean, I expect the people who run our country to be considered in their approach to matters. So if you, as the head of a political party, haven't been in government, if you have evidence that the government is involved in some sort of corruption, present your evidence. And then take it to the police if you feel it's solid evidence. But if you're just going to come out and make wild accusations about everybody, I'm going to have a hard time taking you seriously. Because you just say stuff. And that's what Minnis used to do before the last election. Just say stuff. You know, and level accusations without any proof and just, oh, it's fine. It's okay. That's the game we're involved in. No problem. So should we be adding dishonest to dumb, petty, and insecure? I've never been more profoundly disappointed in an administration as I am with this one. It takes some serious superpowers to squander so much goodwill and potential to be a transformative government. It says, do foreign companies have to be sealed to do business here? If not, why not? I don't see why they wouldn't have to be. I don't know. Good question. I'm not sure. It says, Juan, if you close that loophole, how would these guys get paid? I get the notices from the e-procurement every day. 96% is for supplies, not contractual work. And two, the period that you have to respond is sometimes one day. I'm not kidding. If you take away these guys' gravy train, then who would run? Yeah, and the procurement process, as much as they talk about it, it's a mess, and they got the procurement bill. But it's not transparent. This says, I see your Korean movie and raise you on Enough with J-Lo, entertaining, and more beauty. Or better yet, Man on Fire with Denzel. Both good revenge movies. Yeah, they were good movies. It says, hey Juan, if police can't beat people if they're not resisting arrest, a civilian definitely can't. Once the person is under control and not resisting, all force needs to stop at that point. Yeah, agreed. We don't need to beat people once they're already in hand. Well, I'm not saying Brave is right, but he said it outside the House. He knows he can get sued. Minnis and F&M say things in the House because they know they're protected. Fair enough. But I'm telling you this. If you're all right? I'm Brave Davis, right? I'm a Queens counsel. Without question, one of the sharpest legal minds we got going, all right?
whatever else you may think of him, he is an incredible attorney. All right? Top of the class. I'm reading this, right? And I'm a Queen's Counsel. And the title of the thing, I'm outside the house. I got no protection. You totally understand this. We're not in court. You got no protection. And the title of the thing is the Travel Health Visa is a corrupt scheme to funnel money to FNM insiders. Now, as an attorney, I know I'm not protected. I'm going to read this? You're just going to hand this to me and I'm going to read it? No. As an attorney, knowing that you have to present evidence when you make allegations, I'm not going to read this. Ain't no PLP, no consultant could put this in my hand and go, hey, man, read it. It ain't going to happen. So you got to put your thinking cap on. All right? This says, you don't have to read this if you don't want to. But just to prove to you how so much businesses are left out of the contractual procurement process, they sent out one, surprisingly, for cleaning the air ducts at the Ministry of Works. So much companies signed up for the crumbs that they had to schedule the walkthrough for Saturday when they're closed and split us into two groups. It says, hey, Juan, don't underestimate Brave Davis. He knows exactly what he read and what he said. Trust me. I don't know that he does, man. Right? So if they're engaged in a corrupt scheme, again, go to the Securities Commission, which licensed them, and then go to the Central Bank, which licensed them, and share that with them. It says read the phone number. Phone number is 325-4316, if you want to call it, 325-4259. The 323-6232 number is not working. All right, so I want to talk about another thing, right? The pandemic has gotten a lot of things weird lately, man. All right, I don't understand people. The thinking somehow is discombobulated. Things that were wholly unacceptable previously are now seemingly fine to do. All right, like give people vaccination perks and shift curfews an hour at a time incrementally, all right? Oh, well, let me take the call. They're calling. Let's take this call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCarthy.
Good afternoon. Jesus, that was loud in my ear.
Yeah, Frank Carter here.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, Mr. Carter, all's well.
Okay. Good. Three things. Two, I don't know if you discussed it earlier in the week, but I haven't been listening to radio.
Okay.
One, the ruling of the split ruling of the Court of Appeal upholding Justice Winder.
Yes, we had discussed that. Mm-hmm.
Discrimination, that's what I call it, okay?
Right.
I've always believed that men and women should have equal rights, married or unmarried. And while I understand what Mr. Roca said yesterday in National Review, that the scientific easiness of proving who the father is wasn't there, but it should have been long changed.
Yep.
And so I'm in agreement, and I believe the Privy Council will uphold the Court of Appeal.
Okay.
And so the challenge for the Bahamas is to better protect and guard our borders. I've been saying that for over 35 years, that once persons are here and they have children, those children that are born here should be entitled, in my opinion, are entitled to citizenship. And so we have to better guard our borders if we want to guard and protect our citizenship.
Correct, yes.
The second ruling, I don't agree with Justice Charles's ruling that non-Bahamians with spousal permits the right to work who may or are fathers of Bahamian children cannot work in the Bahamas. Which other industry can discriminate in such a fashion?
Right.
While fishing is very important to the Bahamas, it's up to the government to have, again, protection that we don't have overfishing in our waters. But permanent residents with the right to work, spousal permits are given. It's up to immigration and other government agencies to properly scrutinize the marriages if they think there are marriages of convenience, which we do hear from time to time, and cases do go before the court. But to openly discriminate and a justice allows it, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. On human rights position, as well as on what the little I know of the Constitution.
Gotcha. I agree.
The third one is in the news today about conflict of interest. I've heard you, and I believe that the person spoken about should resign his position as a campaign official for the governing party.
Mm-hmm.
If the story, as reported, is true, we allow these things in our little country, and that's why some people refer to us as a banana republic or a corrupt society. We have to know what is corruption. And one can't preach when in opposition about corruption and contentiousness when he gets in government. Come with clean hands and keep your hands clean.
All right. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for the contribution.
My 5 cents or 10 cents, whatever value you want to put on it.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You make
Have a good day.
Cogent points. So to his point about the discrimination, I agree on both counts. It's senseless to discriminate this way because we as a country are incapable of properly enforcing our laws in terms of, do you have so little faith in the immigration department and the people who work there that you do not believe they are capable of determining if a marriage is valid or fraudulent? Are you saying to me that either the immigration department is incompetent or steeped in wrongdoing, misfeasance, to the point that we cannot trust the immigration officers, and therefore you must blanket, put a ban on employing people, employing the spouses of Bahamian women in a certain industry, because you can't properly vet spousal permits? Is that what you're saying? Because you're incapable of vetting spousal permits, you're going to lock these people out of employment, and they can't take care of their children. Can't feed their families. That's what you're saying to me. Is it? Are you saying to me that because you cannot properly protect our borders, that you now doubt the veracity of a Bahamian man's claim to his own child? Is that what we're saying? Because we're disenfranchising people because we can't properly enforce the law, right? And now keep telling me about these Haitians, right? And here's the thing, right? If you don't hire the illegal Haitian worker, they're not going to stay here. But because you choose to ignore the law
this is why we have this problem. A big part of it, anyway. All right? If you want to call, I keep telling you, if you got to call 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Let me read some text before I get to what I was going to say before Mr. Carter called. It says, Brave knows the playbook. Kickbacks happen, and they're hard to prove. Hey, I'm a Marine. I worked with Danny Ferguson. He's one of the most upright and honorable persons. So the Prime Minister really needs to mind what he says about him because it won't work. I gotcha. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon. Mr. Carter made a point that the court upheld a discriminatory provision.
Mm-hmm.
I have to disagree with him. All the court said is that at this time, the court does not have the jurisdiction until full arguments are made as to prevent Parliament from doing their job. Mm-hmm. Remember, now Parliament passed an act stating that foreign and nobody could fish in the Bahamian waters who are not Bahamian.
Right.
So you have to first find that that provision is discriminatory before you could void it. So the court hands were tied. It couldn't issue an injunction, in other words, to stop Parliament from carrying out its constitutional duty.
Mm-hmm. Now, but isn't that the point of going to the court to ask them?
But that was an application, if you read the judgment, for an injunction.
Yeah, I did read it, yes. Right? She said that
for
she couldn't grant the injunction.
Not, right. Not the full merits of the case was never argued.
No, but is the court not capable of granting the injunction? She has to decide whether to grant the injunction or not. So, for instance,
right.
Shall Grant Bethel granted an injunction.
Now, right. if you look at
without the arguments being heard,
if you look at the injunction that Cheryl Grant Bethel did grant, she said that the government could tear down any home. They just got approved. That is an illegal home.
Mm-hmm.
It was not built according to the rules and regulations laid down.
Right.
And I mean, quite frankly, when you look at Section 4 of the Building Control Act, it does not provide for a person. For the government to take a person to court to declare that the building was not built in accordance with the rules, right? It gives the building control officer the power to pull it down, and he acts like judge, jury, and executioner in one.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem with that provision. Now, what the government did with the Fishing Act is to remove a stream of work that was previously held by persons. But remember now, in the Bahamas, we can stop foreigners from doing any type of work. Foreigners can't be lawyers in this country unless they are Bahamians.
That's true.
Or given special permission.
That's true.
Okay, so it is in with the government competence to pass that law.
I agree.
The question is, does it meet other tests?
Mm-hmm.
Because these people were fishing before. Mm-hmm. That has to be argued. And the court just can't step in and say Parliament wrong without full arguments.
Mm. I understand. I mean, she could have, though, right?
No, not in this instance. I read a judgment.
Her judgment, her judgment is that she can't, yeah. But so what are you saying? That you think Carter mischaracterized what happened?
What I'm saying is this. The Supreme Court was not acting in a discriminatory manner.
You could
say the government might be discriminatory.
Yeah, okay,
guys,
fair enough.
But not
the
court.
That's fair enough.
Okay?
Yeah,
I agree. Carter was wrong in his assessment that the court
was the one discriminating.
Now, under Article 54, the government has the right to pass laws.
Of course. I don't dispute at all that the government has the right, until the court finds otherwise, to ban foreigners from participating in commercial fishing.
I
don't dispute that at all.
The court can only ban an act if it violates the Constitution.
Constitution, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, banning somebody from working in the Bahamas, is that a violation of the Constitution?
Not to me, no.
Okay,
no.
So...
But, here's my problem with it. It is discriminatory. And it is disenfranchising Bahamians. And that is my problem with it.
See, and there you go again.
So they have the right to do it doesn't mean they should do
it. I don't know if a... spouse could say that she's being discriminated against if her husband can't do a Satan job.
Gotta be. What else is it?
Well, okay, what happens when a lawyer from a different country comes to the Bahamas?
That's discriminatory as well. Now, is it right or is it wrong is the question.
Well, you see, you always have to look at it in terms of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Does it violate the Constitution?
Well, you have to look at it in terms of is it fair as well, right? Is it fair that a woman who's married to a Dominican man who loves him and has children for him, he can come here, but he can't fish, but a Bahamian who's married to a Dominican woman, she can do certain things. It's not fair, you know? She can get the spousal permit that allows her to work. It's not fair. Just because it's in the Constitution doesn't make it right. You see what I'm saying?
My brother, well, the problem with that is we'd be stuck with the Constitution as it is.
Yeah, that is the problem. I need to change. That's my opinion.
I guess that we leave it up to your children to decide what they're going to do with that, because it ain't look like this generation.
Ain't it happening, no. Agreed. But thank you, man. Very cogent and clear assessment of the Constitution. I appreciate that.
I'm listening to the show. Good show. Okay, bye.
Thanks, my brother. All right. Appreciate you. Okay, so, and that's my whole thing, right? It ain't right. You know what I mean? It ain't right. The Constitution also allows us to discriminate in terms of gambling. We can't go play in the casino. Why not? I'm walking with my kids through the casino in Atlantis. They're looking, ooh, can we go to the slot machine? I go, well, firstly, you're supposed to be 18 to play. But I was like, no. No, you can't, all right? Because you're Bahamian. And you can't do in the Bahamas what someone else can do who's not Bahamian. Because that's what they put in our Constitution. And so even when you turn 18, if it doesn't change or the government doesn't decide that it's going to change the law, then you still won't be able to do in your country what a foreigner can do. How is that right? How does that make sense? How is that fair? Right? But it is the law. So I just don't think that we should continue this, these discriminatory practices. And when we do our show on emotional intelligence, we're going to talk about looking at situations holistically and doing critical thought exercises to the point that you can place yourself in the position of someone else, okay? And I do this, and sometimes you got to do this with adults. And having kids has taught me so much patience, right? So sometimes you got to do this with adults. And so, like my daughter, she's at a stage now where she's sometimes saying mean things to her older brother, you know what I mean? And all stuff like that. And she can dish it out, but she can't take it. And if her older brother says something unkind to her, right, then she's crying. And when she says something mean and it's just she's giggling about it, I go, well, how would you feel if he said that about you? How would you feel if he did that to you? That's the beginning of emotional intelligence. How would you feel if it happened to you? Right? So if you were a woman in the Bahamas and you decided you love your foreign husband, you're going to go live with him for a while, and you have a baby, but you come back to the Bahamas with the baby and with your foreign husband, then the baby ain't Bahamian. And that makes sense to anyone out there? It don't make none to me. We got a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome. I still want to talk about this one thing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A godly day. It is you, Noyce, along with you, Juan.
Hey, buddy. What's happening?
I'm radio holding, thank God. One, the situation whereby Bahamian are unable to gamble in the casino, the government should change that, because that was put there by Sir Lyndon and Pindling and the guy what used to be magistrate over here. He went to Freeport. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So they are holding the Bahamian people back.
Yeah, I mean, they can be holding the Bahamian people back because they're not alive.
Right.
We're
right.
holding the Bahamian people back.
And knowing that Mr. Pinlin implement that, you know, that give you and give government the prerogative, you know, to deal with it.
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. They just need to change the law. You don't even have to change the Constitution. You just need to change the law. Right? Is it the Gaming Act or the Casino Act? Which one is it? I think it's the Casino Act. You just need to change that. That's all. Right? Now, foreigners can gamble in web shops locally. Also, I've seen foreigners in web shops. When you got an addiction, you got an addiction, right? Or let me say this. I've seen foreigners entering web shops. I don't play numbers, right? But I could give you a number if you want to go play it and take a cut. Let's take this phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon. Just a quick point.
Hey, buddy.
The citizenship thing. Mm-hmm. The ironic part about it is that foreigners is going to decide who can be citizens of the Bahamas.
Yes, yes. Right.
Isn't that amazing?
The foreign court gets to decide what happens, who could be Bahamian.
Who could be Bahamian. So that's why it's vitally important. More Bahamians need to read our constitution. Article 104 and Article 105 gives the parliament the right to determine where the final court of appeal
is.
That could lie. So we could remedy that.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah.
Exactly.
That ain't no problem.
So that's just an amazing thing to me that foreigners will have the final say on who can be a citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
I agree. And it's weird because it's a Commonwealth practice to have the Privy Council as a final court of appeal, right? But certain matters I don't think come before them.
Exactly.
Right? Like if it's a commercial matter involving a foreign entity and stuff like that, you want to give people the security that there's not vet it on an international scale.
But keep saying giving these foreign people securities, right?
Right.
Foreign investors is going all kind of war torn countries with dictators and being and do business.
Right. Yeah. True.
So we keep downplaying ourselves as a country and our people. We have a lot of learned people in this country. Some who have a lot of people who have personal integrity. We have to. I mean, not you, but I say in general when I hear people say that.
Mm.
I have a daughter. You think I want my daughter be subjected to foreign people?
Correct.
For matters pertaining to her and the Bahamas?
Right.
To a country where she probably might never even visit?
Correct.
And those persons who sit in the court might not have even any type of connection to the Bahamas outside of ruling on cases that come before them?
Right. I think you got to grow up sometimes as a democracy.
We could be 50 next 2 years.
And decide, like, if you're capable now of doing certain things.
If you look at those Eastern European countries, some of those, the majority of Eastern European countries who've been under the Soviet bloc, watch how they have grown in the past 30 to 20 years.
Right.
To compare to us.
Yeah.
They come from under communism, not no democracy.
Right, not colonial rule. It's totalitarianism.
And not colonial rule.
Yeah.
And they have grown. They have set up their own judicial system. We could do the same. Why you think I send my daughter to school? Why you want to send your kids off to school to come back and still be subjected to these same old colonial practices
nonsense.
Because somebody feel like the foreign investor could feel more. If the man think he could make money in the Bahamas, you think he remember the Privy Council? If he think he could make billions of dollars in the Bahamas, he will come here and make his billions and skip town and go.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. With the Privy Council, without the Privy Council.
Yeah, I agree. I would at least say you could have a backstop at the Caribbean Court of Justice. You know what I'm saying?
We even need them. What we need them for? We have educated Bahamians.
Yeah.
We need to build our own country and stop relying on people for these stuff.
Yep.
What you trying to say? All those persons who go off to law school to study law over the past 60-something years, that none of these people could make a judgment that us as a people could agree. They live here too, you know.
So
if they have any matter before the court, or their family have any matter before the courts, they have to face the same judicial system.
Correct. I totally agree.
You know, so it's kind of ironic. We want to decide who could be a Bahamian citizen, but we can let the foreigners decide that for us.
I mean, to me, and, you know, Sean McQueen was yesterday saying it's crying out for appeal. And I mean, to me, you ain't got to go appeal this. You could let that die right there.
And what I read what Sean McQueen said too, right?
Mm.
He said because of the two the 3-2 ruling, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
If the Privy Council doesn't rule unanimously, is that going to make the judgment less?
Correct. Correct.
Huh?
Exactly. There's a panel of judges on the of law lords on the Privy Council, and they don't
and the
always...
the majority carries the sway.
Correct.
It happens in every superior court in every country where there are panels of judges. You don't need unanimous decisions.
I really don't understand why there's this mad rush to go get a stay and people can't get citizenship.
And then to back to Carl Bassett, who sent you water's name of, right? He in the Senate saying that the law ain't the law. But why are you going to get a stay if the law ain't the law?
Exactly,
when the
right. If the law is not in effect, then why would
exactly.
it, you need
so
to
so why
the
you
ruling?
Need a stay if the law is not in effect?
Right.
Automatic.
Correct.
And if the court wanted to leave the status quo, they had, it's their prerogative, they could have done that. They could have said, we're going to leave the status quo until such time as the government want to appeal this. They didn't do that.
Nope.
They just put out their ruling, and they affirmed what Justice Wynder did.
That's right.
What? 104, 105. Parliament of Obamas need to get on that, because no foreigners should be determining. I think we have any foreigners on the Court of Appeal?
I believe, I want to say Justice Stella Crane Scott is not
yeah, yeah. Okay. But overall, we need to start letting behemoths make decisions for behemoths.
Yeah, we listen, and the whole reason we started the Court of Appeal was so that we could have our own institution in the Bahamas that could decide these matters, and they don't have to go off straight to the Privy Council.
And the Queen, when she did our independence order, she gave us a way out,
yep.
An easy way out. 104, 105. That's it right there.
Right.
I don't think no
parliament can decide tomorrow.
Determine who could be a Bahamian citizen first. Come on, man. It's 2021.
Yeah, totally agree with you. Thanks, my
all
brother.
Right, now.
All right. Good. Get some smart, insightful callers. Y'all read your constitution. I'm proud of y'all. And your laws. This says, one, I have no problem with the Haitians. All of them don't make nearly as much as the foreign executives making a killing in this country. It says, see that last caller? He's someone who needs to help you in putting forth your opinion on law. Listen, are you the guy who talked to me but I need a legal analyst? Leave me alone, man, okay? Let's not. I told you I didn't take my blood pressure medication. Don't incite me again. Just give your view on the situation and leave me alone. I'd like to have that sort of relationship with you, anonymous texter. One, there's a burial at Lakeview that has traffic bottlenecked. It says, why people want citizenship when Bahamians can't even go in the casino in their own country, plus foreigners have more rights than Bahamians. It says, I heard the AG on the news, and it seems like he's saying people should not start going to immigration to sort out their rightful status based on the recent ruling. He is saying the status quo remains and people have to wait until the government appeals. That's what he said. I don't know if they got the stay. Hey, Juan, why is it the money from the health visa don't go directly in the consolidated fund? I mean, it ends up in the consolidated fund. Juan, the Constitution doesn't stop you from gambling. It's the regulations that does. I've been saying for years, if it was in the Constitution, the minister could not grant a person to have rifles, churches, and others apply to a minister to have raffles, which is gambling regulations, is what discriminate. Yeah, it's a law that discriminates. That's not in dispute. But the Constitution allows them to discriminate. Article 21. One, these dinosaurs will never give up on their white overlords. We admire the white. Stupid wigs too much. Says Juan, don't worry, the Privy Council will affirm Wynder's decision, and since the Privy Council is the final court of appeal for the Bahamas, that will be the case closed. And yes, there are non-Bahamians sitting on the court of appeal. Yeah, at least one. I want to say I'm certain that Stella Crane Scott is not Bahamian. None others readily come to mind. Right? Let me think. None others readily come to mind. Who would not be Bahamian? Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
Marlin Marine is going digital to better serve you. Check out our digital showroom at marlin-marine.com or visit our Facebook page and select shop to view our stock, speak with a sales agent, or request a quote. Be prepared this hurricane season with our lineup of Generac portable and standby generators. Our diesel and LP standby generators give you clean, uninterrupted power, while our portable generators provide convenient power where you need it, keeping you connected no matter the conditions. Find the Generac that best suits you. Contact Marlin Marine today and our sales agents will be sure to help. Call 393-7873, visit marlin-marine.com, and follow our social media pages to stay updated on our latest products. When the power cuts out, Generac steps in. So get your Generac generator today at Marlin Marine, giving you power on land and sea.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
I work hard, and I have a family that needs me, so I have no time for pain. That's why I take Cetamol Extra Strength. It's fast, it's effective, it's relief. Cetamol Extra Strength. Get back to the better you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. I'm not going to be able to talk about the thing I wanted to talk about. We just don't have time. But we were talking, we got into the Court of Appeal stuff again, and as well as a ruling on the discriminatory measures in the Fisheries Act. This says, one, I missed the point your previous caller was making on foreigners deciding who can be a Bahamian. What does that have to do with anything? Did you pay attention to the composition of the court that made the Court of Appeal ruling? Two of the three judges of the majority are non-Bahamian. What's the issue? I think they got it right, but the issue is still worth an appeal. I mean, I disagree with a foreign court, but I don't mind a foreigner working in the Bahamas making a judgment. Two of the three judges? Who are the judges? Justice Stella Crane Scott, Justice John Isaacs, he's a Bahamian. Justice Roy Jones, is Roy Jones not Bahamian? All right. Now, is Carolita Bethel a Bahamian? She was involved in this ruling, but no. She was not born in the Bahamas. I don't know if she's a Bahamian now. I don't know. But you may have a point. If Roy Jones is a Bahamian and Stella Crane Scott is not a Bahamian, and Carolita Bethel is not a Bahamian, that would mean that half the court is comprised of foreign judges, which is fine. They're very, very learned, smart, wise people. It says Justice Jones is Jamaican. Okay, all right, good. I didn't realize that. Nope, Jones is Jamaican. That's fine. This says, not the blood pressure medicine. You're killing me. You're the best. All right. Just want a nice, easy time, man. It says, one, I'm vexed. The discrimination against Bahamian women married to foreign men will remain in place. Women always seem to get shafted when it comes to equality under the law. Absolutely. All right, we got a phone call. Let's take the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Nope, they're not there. All right. Please tell that texter who messes with you that you're a light-skinned brother, and if you don't want the same fate as Jerry, he better eat up. I mean, I get it. I get that you can have opinion on me. That's fine. I'm doing the show. I'm not averse to that. But I mean, you know, give your opinion on the matter, you know, as opposed to just your opinion on me. Good evening, Juan. Would the Bahamian father have to produce a paternity test to transfer citizenship to his child born in the Bahamas to a foreign woman? And would this foreign woman have to have legal status to be in the Bahamas at the time of procreation? I mean, that would depend on if the Court of Appeal affirms the ruling, if the Privy Council affirms the ruling, and then it would depend on how they would redraft the law. We can take a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, Juan, how are you doing? Shannon Johnson. Just
hey, buddy.
2 points. Just 2 points. The statement concerning gaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't discriminate against Bahamians.
Okay.
The actual law discriminate against residents. If you're a Bahamian non-resident in the Bahamas for 6 months or more,
mm-hmm.
you could actually go and gamble in the casino. It's just that if you're any resident in the Bahamas for 6 months or more, is prohibited from gaming. So it's not a discrimination against Bahamians. And secondly,
well, what's the difference? What's the difference if the effect is the same?
No, because I know Bahamians who gamble in the casino. Now the discrimination comes from the residency, you know, foreigners or Bahamians is just prohibited. But my greatest thing about not even is against, I don't really have anything against the gaming part. I mean, the gambling part. I have something against the ownership part and the restriction of limiting of casinos, even the what we call this gaming thing that we call in the Bahamas numbers and everything else. I have a discrimination of that and the fact of the new global reality of where
what
we are.
What prevents a Bahamian from getting a casino license?
Actually, the Bahamas government owns all the casino licenses.
Right. So, what prevents them from issuing
our policy, our government?
There's a written policy that says a Bahamian can't get a casino license.
We don't have a written policy for anything in the Bahamas. I've been asking for a written policy for anything in the last 20 years I've been home.
That's just their practice.
Yeah, that's the point. It's just their practice because the minister only need to do it. He don't need to go back to Parliament or Cabinet. It's totally within his decision.
Because I'm certain that Craig Flowers or Sebastian is resourceful enough to set up a gambling operation.
What happens is, even with the new banking law, maybe we'll talk about this one day, with the new digital laws in place, even the data bill they have, it actually eliminates banking and financial services. We know it once it's applied. But we're so used to doing what others do that we don't ever think forward-thinking. But one other point, one on the wives thing, right? The discrimination against the fishing. The fishing bill doesn't discriminate against the wives or the husbands of Bahamians, because with the advantage that the wives of Bahamian men have is they are considered citizenship, you mean entitled to citizenship on the day of marriage. But they are also too prohibited from actually having licenses until they become Bahamians. And so, yes, we need to have a wider discussion concerning the variations. But to imply that it discriminates against the spouses of Bahamian women alone is not categorically true.
I mean, how is that not true? Because if I
marry a foreign woman and she wants to fish, she cannot get a license.
No, I understand that, but right. The foreign men are the ones who are trying to get
no,
the
I license saying,
to
but,
fish,
but
and so the effect of the law is still to discriminate. I think right. You're being a bit cute with that.
I'm just
you know
the legal aspect of it. Yes, you're saying they are the majority of the people, but you can't argue that Bahamian women are being discriminated against. The spouses are being discriminated against who have yet to be converted to citizenship. And so the problem, again, is our pathway to citizenship is what we need to discuss. And so unless we get our conversation correct, we can't get the problem correct.
Okay. I don't know that that is the problem. If a law... See, you could wrap yourself in technicality all you want. If the effect of a law has an outsized impact on a particular group, then it's majority discriminatory against that particular group. You're disenfranchising the majority of a particular group in the majority. That's what the law does to me. So as long as we appoint judges the way we do, give me my privy council.
This says, so C. Allen saying that my Bahamian cousin who lives abroad can gamble in our resort casinos when they visit home. I did not know this. Technically, yeah, they should be able to. He's right on the technicality about being a resident. But the outsized effect of it, again, you know, you're wrapping yourself in technicality and you're missing the broader picture. The outsized effect of it is Bahamians in the Bahamas cannot gamble in the casinos, but foreigners who come here from abroad can. Why don't the government just go to Parliament and change the immigration law tomorrow? Well, to do that, they would have to actually be in Parliament, and they're on a three-month hiatus, so nothing is going to get done legislatively in that regard. So this says not much is going to get done. This says Britain, it says the country that can't even get Brexit right and have one of the worst COVID responses in the world. It's just laughable we rely on them as a final court of appeal. Bahamian judges have proven that politics doesn't come into play with their judgments. All right, fair enough. All righty, so that's going to do it for the show today. I wanted to tomorrow, though, discuss, in fact, let me just start, right? I really should have done this earlier. What is Resorts World Bimini doing? You're telling people if they travel off Bimini and come back to Bimini, they have to quarantine for 72 hours? Upon arrival? What in any law or emergency order allows you to require anyone to quarantine and tell them if they don't want to do that, they'll have been considered resigned from their position? That is nonsense. In order to get back to Bimini, you would have to think that if they went to a family island with no high rate of COVID, then they're not at any great risk. And you're testing them when they come back. If they left Bimini to go to Nassau, they need a negative RT-PCR test to leave Nassau for Bimini. If they go to the States, if they're not fully vaccinated, they need a negative RT-PCR test to come back to Bimini. So what logic underpins that someone must quarantine now? We've jumped the shark now. Now, private companies are telling you you have to quarantine as a condition of your employment, right? So we've gotten so comfortable with government doing this nonsense that now private companies feel that they can do it. And John Pinder says it's illegal. It's an abuse of power, and it's nonsense. And I certainly hope that somebody changes your mind on this or stands up for themselves in court. But we'll touch on it more. Says no one. They're saying if you leave the plantation even to visit family on Bimini, you have to quarantine. That's not what I read. I read that if you choose to visit family and friends on any other island, no matter how small, you'll be required to quarantine for 72 hours. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and it's an abuse. All right, we got to go. We'll be back tomorrow with more. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.